Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. We can get a sound check. Brother Kwame, I greatly appreciate that. Let's go ahead and turn in our red hymns to page 50, song 50. That's going to be here, Power in the Blood, song 50, Power in the Blood. Power in the Blood, amen. Power in the Blood. Amen. We're good. Okay, Power in the Blood. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing out here. And on the one here, Power in the Blood, page 50. Oh, would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the two. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood, come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the third, would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondering working power
in the blood of the Lamb.
Now there is power, power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. On the last. Now would you do service for Jesus your King?
There's power in the blood,
power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wondering working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. Glory to God. All right, everybody, let's go ahead and turn our hymnals to page 395. Let's go ahead and go to 395 and our hymnals, page 395. Page 395. 395. Brethren, we have met.
That's not 395.
On the one. Brethren, we.
Whoa, whoa, sorry. Whoa.
Try again.
Brethren, here we go.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. On the two. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. On the third. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sisters hated him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. On the last. Now let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's go ahead and sing in our last here, my friends. Sing in our last. Let's go ahead and turn our hymnals to page 507. 507. Come thou fount. Amen. Come thou fount. All right, friends, let's go ahead and turn in our hymnals to page 507. Come thou fount. Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, song of flaming tongues above. Praise a mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. On the two. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. On the last. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here to rest, oh, take and seal it, seal it for thy courts above. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up and greet one another. If your conscience does not permit, give an elbow or a bump. Amen.
need to show you how to do this. Dude, come over here so I can show you how to do this.
We gotta keep our 6 feet.
Can you come over on this side? So you're just gonna go on scene. You gotta physically come over here and see what I'm doing, dude.
Okay.
Scene. And then you're gonna go over announcements, move your mouse back over here, and then go back here to the SBCO Live. Okay?
Okay. Just transition that way, that's what you're referring to.
Gonna do.
Okay.
Good. Right.
Amen. All right, welcome. Welcome to Simple Faith Baptist Church. Thank you all for joining us online, mostly. We want to be in our word and also be continue to listen to the word of God being preached. Even though we can't assemble together and the way we would like to, thank you for tuning in online. So I'm going to go over some quick announcements real quick before we get straight into the word of God. All right, if you're new to the page, just look upon the screen, please, where you see these tabs here. And I'm going to just follow along if you would like, just so you can learn our homepage, okay? So our calendar tab here is just our previous, current, and future events that we have going on here at Simple Faith Baptist Church, where you can keep up with us here. If you want to join us, once we can join again, in any type of ministries we may have going on, that's how you find out what's going on there. All right, I'm going to move straight into this prayer tab here. And this prayer tab is very important because, again, now is a time that we really need to pray even more for each other. We should be praying for each other all the time. But, again, right now we're going through what the world considers a crisis or a bad time. Hopefully we're praying for one another. This is just a tool you can use to put, your personal prayer requests up there. Somebody who you know needs prayer so we can keep each other in prayer as a church. It's also a nice tool to use. But again, we should be praying for each other anyway on the daily. But this is here for you to use as well. You can also put praise reports up here. And any other thing you would like to post. Again, it would be to the public so people can see this online. But if you don't want it public, just let us know in the comments before we post it. All right. Moving right along to our current and future ministries. Again, a lot of this has... none of the times have changed. It's just the whole gathering restrictions have changed. But again, so like the soul winning on Saturdays, we usually go out on Saturdays soul winning. But because of the social distancing, we have that on a pause right now. Hopefully you are witnessing just in your daily lives when you have a chance to preach Christ to an individual. Please don't stop doing that. We still need to preach the Lord Jesus Christ to people who need Christ, which we all do. And then if they're not saved, hopefully you're encouraging them to continue to stay faithful and the calling that God has called them to do, okay? Wednesday nights, Bible study, I'll show you here on the homepage where you have our times, all right? Just so you can reference this whenever, if you forget or something like that. But Wednesdays at 7, again, we have our Bible study. But again, it's very limited. You can still join it. You can tune in online and listen to the online teaching. Sundays, we're having an online teaching. All these are online teachings, okay, because of the whole gathering restrictions. But these are the times that we're going to be live. And if you happen to miss it live, you can just go back on YouTube, and there should be a copy there in case you miss it live. All right. Moving right along, let's go into the live streams now, which is a lot more important than it was before because of the social distancing. All right, our Facebook church page, all right? So we have the Facebook church page now, where you can see us on Facebook Live. We have YouTube Live. Periscope is live, and podcast is also live. So no excuse why, if you want to go in and hear some good, solid Bible preaching, we have all the resources here for you, and you can still respect the social distancing laws, okay? Moving right along into that Bible study tab, all right? Because we're not the only ones preaching the word of God, rightly divided. These are brothers who we definitely look up to, who've been doing this a lot longer than we have. And we learn from each other here as we listen to these brothers here, as people who've heard me give the announcements before, you know, my favorites are brother James Knox but all these brothers are solid. We just visited a Bible Berean Baptist Church yesterday. It was a blessing. We helped them with their sound. Brother Carlos hooked them up. We're getting their sound together for their online teaching and our video. That's been a blessing. What's up, sister? Oh, yeah, and they're making some masks down there for the community. And they're just been a blessing to the community. We went out there, myself, Carlos, Sister Katie, and Brother Louie. And we went out there, and Brother Louie helped them with their sign about the whole new online teaching because of this social distancing. And it's been a good time. But, again, these brothers have been doing it a lot longer than we have. And a lot of them are putting more into the online ministry. So please tune in on their web pages and things like that so you can get that word, too, as well. All right. Moving right into the giving tab here. All right. Again, let's remain faithful to what the Lord called us to do. This is just here a tool you can use to give online, which, again, is even now more important now that we can gather like we would like to. So if you would like to give as unto the Lord to Simple Faith Baptist Church so we can continue to use these funds to further the ministry for Christ, you can do that here. Again, the actual behind-the-scenes generator of this page would be PayPal, okay? So with that being said, just some quick announcements before we get into the Word of God. And welcome on my brother Carlos, and hopefully you're ready for the Word of God. Amen.
Okay, let's go ahead and give a hand of praise unto the Lord for Brother Quamain. Yay, amen, Brother Q. Thank you so much for being a blessing to us, Brother Quamain. Do appreciate you. And amen, praise God. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. We're going to continue where we left off in our study of God's holy word, the Bible. And we're going to continue in our study here. We would like to thank God for those of you who are tuning in online. And we want to thank God for the few that have gathered here physically in-house. We are going to remain faithful, and we're going to respect what the world is telling us to do. As many of you know, we have a small church. We're trying to exceed the capacity of 10. We usually have like 8 or 9, usually, so we'll get there one day. But until then, we pretty much have been abiding by that since for a long time now. So, again, we want to thank God, and again, thank you for the social distancing. You know, it is what it is. However your conscience leads you to do in that thing, as the scripture says, happy is a man that doeth the thing in which he is. I don't know what it, but let's look for that verse real quick. What does it say there about happy is the man which doeth the thing, or something like that? Happy is the man. Let's see. Here it is. What is that verse in Romans? I think it was in Romans. No? I guess it's not. I had this. I had this one verse in mind about that condemneth something about which and that which he doeth, or something like that. And that. And that which he oh no, it's not even there. It's like very, very unique verses. Give me one quick second. Oh yeah, we're not gonna find it in all this plethora of verses. Well, anyways, if somebody can search that verse for me, I believe it was in Romans in regards to Romans 14:22. Let's see. Yeah, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, I know we're talking about food in context, but just for principle, you know your own conscience. You know how you interpret life around you in regards to the world telling you something, and where you know yourself to be at in that regard. So we're, I guess, just go with your flow, amen, however that feels. We fellowship all the time, you know us, for those of us that are here, and so we're going to have a good time there. Romans chapter number 8, and we're going to pick up here in verse number 30. Give me one quick second as we try to adjust some things here so that way we can multitask here. One quick second here. One quick second.
All right. Okay, let me go ahead and do this. I'm going to just finish this here. I'm going to make this bigger here. There you go. There's that. And put that back here. There we go. Okay. All right. Amen. Okay. Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to continue here in verse number 30. The Bible says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you would fill us all here today, Lord God, with wisdom, Lord, with eyes to see and ears to hear wonderful things from thy holy word, the Bible. I pray, God, that you would comfort any soul here today that is heavy-hearted, any soul here today that is doubtful, any soul here today that has just been attacking and being attacked by this flesh, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would strengthen us from the source of life, which is the words of God, and help us to leave here looking that much more like Christ, encouraging one another while it is still day. Encourage us, would you please, God, with your holy word, and help us to continue to learn from it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for them that are watching online, and we pray this. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to verse number 30. Again, if you want more context, when we discuss the whom he called and those that he is referring to, we know that in verse number 28, to remind my friends out there, for them that are the called according to his purpose, them that are the called, if you go back all the way to verse number 1, are them that are in Christ Jesus. How do you become a part of being in Christ Jesus? Ephesians 1, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you believed and you trusted. So once you believe and trust the gospel, when it's presented to you, you are placed in Christ. And in Christ is a whole destiny that God the Father already prepared for those that would come to him, that he already sees your justification and your glorification and your inheritance, etc. He already sees it from that eternal state and perspective. And that's what we're discovering here in the book of Romans when we go through these verses, verse by verse, in verse number 30. We're just going to finish up now on this, the last part of there, verse 30, in regards to them he also glorified. Them he also glorified. Just to recap, from those that were justified or those that he declared just, we study that from the Bible text and how God does it. It's whenever he sees a sinner and their heart of sincere repentance and by faith believing the word presented to them at their time. Today I'm going to show you some interesting scripture from the book of Job and how Job was declaring himself righteous in his own eyes. He claimed himself to be good enough, and yet God rebuked him and reproved him to his face and asking him questions about, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? In other words, who are you, Job, to claim yourself good outside of who I am? And when Job finally came into a personal encounter with the God that he has heard of and he believed on, his entire life changed in that split second by saying, whoa, God, you're good. God, you're just. I'm not. I'm vile. I'm a wretched man. I'm just going to listen to you, God. I'm just going to listen. And the Lord justified him by faith, and he calls him a servant. We saw people like Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Jesus, John the Baptist, Simeon, Joseph, Cornelius, Lot, and God the Father as the Bible declared to be just or just people. Let's go ahead and turn our Bible now to John chapter number 17 and talk a little bit more about this glorification. What does that mean? What is the Lord? What has the Lord promised to those that would believe in him? And how does the Father respond to that plan or that promise in regards to the glorification to sinners who would become born again and saved Christians after they physically die for their eternal destiny? Their eternal destiny. It could be everlasting life, however you want to call it. We understand what that means today here at church. That future world to come without end, that amazing eternal life being with him. there's something that's going to happen from here to then. He has to do something with our body before we get to that eternal state, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He's going to have to change your mortal body into that which is immortal. He's going to have to do something with your physical flesh in order to be like his body post-resurrection, in order for you to cohabitate and co-live in this dimension that we call heaven. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's go back in time when the Lord was on the earth in this prayer, as we call the priestly prayer in John 17, between Jesus, the Son of God, and the Father. And the Father. In regards to how the Lord asked the Father to glorify him and how that relates to those that would believe on him. The Bible says in verse number 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So right off the bat, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator between the one true God and mankind. No man can come unto God but through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't come to God through Buddha, through Zoroaster, through whatever type of prophet you want to claim in, Muhammad and all these various false religious satanic antichrists throughout time. The Lord Jesus Christ, this Holy Bible, is the only mediator, the only one whom you could approach the one true God through. Verse number 4, the Lord continues, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now what's amazing is that, again, here's a conversation with the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Father and the Son are having a conversation, and Jesus, the Son of God, by the Holy Ghost penning those words, tells us that he was given a task, he was given a job, he was given work to do on the earth by the Father. And I'm going to show you later on in the book of Hebrews how that was already recorded and prophesied and foretold, given to the people of Israel, because this is their God in the prophets. We're going to read that in the Psalms. But that's what Christ came to do. He came to do the work that the Father had told him to do and accomplish for your salvation. And now, O Father, glorify thou with me, with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now here he is. We're talking about this glory that he possessed before he entered into time. We're talking about from heaven, which is eternal, earth and our dimension down here in the universe, time. We have something called time. Up there, there's no time. He transcended time. He came out of that eternal state into time when he was transferred into that holy body prepared in that womb of Mary. And now he's just talking to the Father. Father, glorify me with that glory. It has to do with this glory that the Lord possessed always. And he's saying, Father, glorify me with that glory which I had before the world was. So whatever that glory was that Jesus possessed by the Father, he's just saying, Lord, give it to me. Father, give it to me. So verse number 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now how about that? If you go back to Revelation chapter 1, you're going to see something interesting that relates very clearly with this verse that we just read. Let's go to Revelation 1, and I'll show you quickly on the screen. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Do we see that? So the words that Christ proclaimed were the words that the Father told him to proclaim. Remember that. And you can also read that in, I think it was in John chapter 6 through chapter 8, somewhere in that area, where further the Lord reveals that, hey, I the words that I speak, I'm speaking unto you the words that the Father has purposed for me to speak. So that's cool to see the Godhead working together ultimately for the plan of our salvation. And here we're just talking about this plan that the Father tasked the Son. And so he's getting ready to go back to the Father. He's just praying to him. Bible says in verse number 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. So now we're going to talk about glorification in Christ's stead. That is, our position as born-again sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Father is going to honor us because he's going to honor his Son. He's going to honor his Son because he already promised his Son from eternity what he would do for him after he would accomplish the salvation plan. That is, he would die on the cross and he would come back from the dead, and all these great prophecies given unto him, but that are recorded in our human language and time through the people of Israel and the Hebrew from their prophets and their scriptures that we have, and then that New Testament church apostles and prophets that were recorded. We have the fullness of the counsel of God that we can say, wow, this is what God planned. This is what God's purpose was from time ago. Verse number 11, And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now we're going to talk about this relationship amongst the Godhead. Father, Son are very close. They're very close. They've been together since eternity. This triune nature of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, these three are one. That's what 1 John 5:7 states in our King James Bible. So this glory that he's asking the Father on behalf of the believers, that they would also behold that he always possessed with the Father before the world was, is this relationship and this majesty that he has with the Father in heaven, that they may be one as we are. How about that? That glorification not only entails that our bodies are going to be raptured, they're going to be translated, they're going to be glorified, right? The Lord is going to supernaturally change your body to be like his. It's not going to sin anymore. It's not going to be angry anymore. It's not going to lust anymore. It's not going to decay of old age. It's going to be like his. It's going to be immortal. It's going to be perfect. When that happens in the near future to Christians coming, we're always going to be with him forever. That amazing relationship of unity and closeness that the Father and Son have, that is a part of that glory that he's saying, Father, hey, give it to them too, please. Verse number 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, talking about Judas Iscariot. Remember that? That fellow betrayed the Lord. Bible says that's what scripture said. That's what was going to happen. So it wasn't unbeknownst to Jesus coming into the world. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now look at that. Whose joy? Is it your joy? No. His joy. He's praying to the Father, asking the Father that his joy would be fulfilled in you, because he's going to leave. That's what he was teaching throughout the Gospels. I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to take of mine and give it to you. He's going to comfort you with my joy. Praise God for that, for those of us that are going through difficult times. I have given them thy word. Now, again, multiple references Jesus is making to the words of God. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But again, that's one of Jesus' prayers. He wants for you to be saved, and he wants for you to be pure. He wants you to be kept in a state of purity in your relationship with God. And he's saying, Father, please don't take them out of this world, but keep them from the evil that's in this world. How about that? You say, Lord, what is your will for my life? He doesn't want me to be in sin. He doesn't want me to be sinning. But again, we need the strength of God to do that. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you're born again and saved now, further progression, we're saved, we're born again, we receive Christ. Although you are in the world of Adam, right, that this human population on the planet, you are no longer of that nature that Adam passed along, because you're saved. You have a new nature that God has given you, and now you're identified with Christ. You are not of this world, as Christ was not of this world. Again, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord is going to always point you to his word, the scriptures, not your feelings, not a little, I heard the voice of God speak. No, not that little earlobe thing that you think you heard God speaking to you. He's going to point you to the scriptures. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth, the word. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So again, there is the Lord praying for all of you here today. He is praying not only for his immediate disciples in the context, but he's praying for every single sinner that would believe on him through their preaching. How about that? How many of us are saved today? Praise God, raise your hand. Jesus was praying for you. And we're going to learn a little bit later now. Now that you are in Christ, now that you're saved, he still is praying for you even now. But for what? That you may physically prosper? No. That you may have riches and wealth and health? No. But that the Father would keep you from what? The evil. How about that? What we just read there. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So again, we're that relationship, the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that Trinity, that triunity that they've always had, he's asking the Father that he would do that amongst believers, that we would have a oneness relationship with the Father as Christ had with his Father. And now when we talk about the glory to come, we're going to see that yes, he's going to rapture our bodies, he's going to judge us at the judgment seat of Christ, but we're always going to be with him. We're going to have this close relationship with our Lord in eternity to come, and the Father. We're going to see the Father sitting on his throne in glory. We're going to see the Son of God at his right hand and hanging out, doing whatever we're going to do in heaven. We don't have a lot of detail as to what the eternal age is going to look like. But we're going to be one with them as Christ was one with him. Does that make sense? And he's asking him, that's that glory that I'm referring to. And the glory, again, verse number 22, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So, not just the glorified body, not just my flesh being translated or transformed to be like his, but this glory aspect of that eternal relationship and that harmony that they have amongst themselves. That's what the Lord's praying to the Father. That's what we're reading. Many Christians don't get along here on the planet, amen? Anybody can testify to that. We hurt each other's feelings. I get angry, I get sad, I get mad because he or she did this to me. But notice that the Son and Father are not like that. Notice that the Father and the Son love each other unconditionally because they are sinless beings. They are perfect. I mean, they're God. We understand that. We're not God. We're not going to always have that. But look at what your Savior is praying to the Father for, that you can be one like he's one, that you can love one another as they love each other. So that glory to come is not only a reference to the physical aspect of our translation and our body being like him and the adoption, that's what Romans was talking about in 8:23, but it's also this aspect of this relationship that we will have with him, that we may behold him and we may love him and embrace him and he us. I'm looking forward to the day that God is going to wipe away my tears. I personally believe, I can't prove it dogmatically, but he's going to do that for each and every single individual personally, you know, not just like some supernatural, you know, like everybody's, but I just have this idea, hopefully that is the case, that he's going to come to you and go to you and go to you, and he's going to personally wipe away your tears. He's going to personally embrace you and maybe hug you and be like, I got you, son. I'm like, yeah, Lord, I'm here, you know, like all that pain. I think, and I hope that that's the case. Now, I can't prove that dogmatically. Again, take it with a grain of salt, but when the Bible does tell us in Revelation he's going to wipe away our tears, I believe he's going to personally do that. He's going to just give us that one-on-one communication. I hope so. Let's keep going. That they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Again, that glory aspect is also denoting relationship. Relationship, that's what he's praying for. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, here it is, be with me where I am. He wants for people that believe in him and trust him and receive him as Savior to physically live with him forever. That's what he's asking the Father. That they may behold my glory. He wants us to visually see this holy majesty that he possessed from eternity. He wants us to behold that and be in awe of it. Which thou hast given me, the Father, again, from eternal aspect, the Godhead, this amazing eternal relationship that the Creator has amongst himself, for lack of better terms. I understand that it's difficult for us to understand the Trinity, but here we have very clearly the Father is the preeminent one in the order of chain of command in the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father gave him glory. So now, whatever the Father gave the Word, that's his title too, the Word of God, John 1:1. Whatever he promised the Word, after he was born, he was given the name Jesus in the flesh, and then the promises thereafter. He's asking now the Father to allow us to behold that and to be beneficiaries of it, which we do see later on through doctrine, that as Christians, we do have an inheritance in Christ. We do have positions of kings and priests in Christ. We see all these wonderful roles that those that are in Christ are going to receive, because that's the Father honoring the Son's petition. I'm just seeing it here in John 17. Could they have discussed it up there before he came down? Could. Obviously, there's no doubt that they discussed all these things we see written in the Scriptures, but it was just progressively revealed over time through different men as the Holy Ghost gave inspiration. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So that glory aspect, those that he has justified, them he also glorified, etc., etc. This is that prayer, and in, as you could just say, in manifestation, this is what we're seeing later on in Scripture, but this is that declaration. He is asking the Father, please do this for those that come to me. Do this for those that come to me. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 8 and look at verse number 17. Romans the 8th chapter and verse number 17. Or we can also read verse number 16 as well. The Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How can I know today that I am a born-again child of God? How can you know today that you are a born-again child of God? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse, I believe it's 26, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost is only going to bear witness with your spirit if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's how he bears witness with you that you're a child of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Now, how do we have an heirship? Because Jesus asked the Father, Father, do this for them that come to me. Do this for those that you give me. Do this, Father, so they can behold my glory that you gave me, and they may be one as we are one in us, I in them, they in me. We're going to be an heir of God. Church, does that not excite you here today? Don't look to your current situation. Don't look to your current finances. Don't look to what you physically possess or don't possess. You have an heirship of God coming to you one day because of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised all those that would come to him, here you have an heirship, an inheritance. Joint heirs with Christ. That's the only way. You see there? We're only made heirs, or we're joint heirs, because of Jesus. So whatever that the eternal God had planned from eternity and then revealed throughout the Scriptures over time, here we have it. Them that come to Jesus, he's also going to bless us with an inheritance, an heirship, something that we're going to receive as a child of God by faith in Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now look at that, glorified together. Now together is the joining of two parties, somebody and somebody else, together. Jesus Christ and the believer, glorified together, because the Father is going to honor the Lord's Prayer there in John 17. How about that? Verse number 18. For I reckon, Paul the Apostle says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now look at that. It's not just going to be the physical inheritance of heaven. It's not going to be the allowing us of the entrance into the eternal abode of God in heaven, but it's going to be this glory in you. There's going to be a glorification to come in you as the recipient of Jesus. And all that has been made possible because the Father is going to honor what the Son has requested of him from time ago. One more place, and then we'll continue in our text. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll go down here to verse number 10. 2 Thessalonians 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read here from verse number. Let's go ahead and read here from verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, "We are bound to thank God always for you." Hope you thank God always. Amen. For brethren. "As it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." Praise God. I hope our church increases in love one toward another. "So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer." That kingdom of God, that heirship, Romans 8:17, is going to come for you as a Christian. Praise God for that. We got to walk worthy now of that calling. "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." Wow. What does that Holy Ghost teach us? God is going to judge those that have persecuted Christians throughout time. How about that? "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." So he's going to come in the clouds to take the church home, but he's not going to be alone. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." Whoa! What is the Lord going to do at his second advent, the second coming? He is going to come with vengeance, with flaming fire on them that know not God. These are the unbelievers of the world. The second coming of Christ, he's going to judge those humans. "And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now what the Lord is going to do then? "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." The glory of his power. What do we talk about there in John 17 about this glory that Christ pleaded with the Father for all them that were believers to behold, this glory of God? They are not going to be able to behold that. As a matter of fact, they're going to be sent to a place that is absent of his glory, a place called hell, a place called the lake of fire, where there is punishment and destruction forever. This is Jesus that's going to do that, by the way. "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe." You see that? The saved from Romans 8, the called in Romans 8, those that are in Christ, Romans 8:1, "because our testimony among you was believed in that day." So Christ is going to come to be glorified in his saints. Praise God. He's going to be glorified in the Christian saints, those that have been born again. And then after the seven-year great tribulation, when he comes back to save the remnant of Israel, he's going to be glorified in Israel as well. And we're going to see that later on in time. So what does this all have to come down back to? This all has to come back down to this eternal purpose that God the Father purposed in his Christ. If you see here in your Bibles, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 11. The Holy Bible says here, "according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Everything that we're reading, everything that we're seeing in the scriptures has already been purposed. There is already this decree that the Godhead had amongst himself, God the Father with God the Son. And all those that would come throughout time, praise God, you and I today, in the year 2020, we're saved, We've received Jesus, and now we know our future outcome. This is because this is that according to that eternal purpose. So hence, God already views those in Christ justified and glorified. From those he led from captivity to those who are being saved currently around the world, this is the future purpose of those in Christ. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Let's go back there now. Romans chapter 8, verse number 31. The Word of God says here, what shall we then say to these things? What things, Paul? Everything he just wrote from verse 1 all the way to verse 30. What is his response? This is like his commentary, if you will, to the things he wrote from verse 1 through verse 30. The theme will be here. If God be for us, who can be against us? Considering the judgments laid out from Romans 1, chapter 1 through chapter 3, the way of salvation declared in Romans chapter 3 to chapter 4, the peace we can be assured of in chapter 5, and from chapter 6 to currently in our chapter 8, the truth of the saved sinner justified by faith in the precious blood of Jesus, even though we still sin, we still fall short of that glory of God daily, God's love and eternal security for the believer and position in Christ, and for those who receive him, who can declare anything against that counsel or that judgment? No one. That's what Paul is trying to get us to understand here. Who alone can forgive sins but God only? After reading from Romans 1, we learn of the forgiveness from God through the gospel, but we also learn of the wrath of God through the gospel. For all who reject and don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who can stand before the Almighty God, before his holy presence, his pure character and his sinless heaven, and argue with him to prove one's own righteousness? Nobody can. God alone is holy, independent of his creation, independent of his creatures, the angels, the universe, both things visible and invisible. God alone is holy and righteous. He's good, he's perfect, he's pure, and he's worthy and right to judge all and anything he created, for we are his creation, and we are not his creator. If God, church here today, declared from heaven unto man, thou shalt not, who are we to argue, but I shall, but I feel. What's my point? God is both maker, creator, and judge. If his laws and decrees condemn my thoughts and my actions, he must also provide and reveal a way of escape, a remedy, a solution to that condemnation. Because he's just, he's also gracious and filled with loving kindness. He reveals that in the law through Moses. That he's a gracious God, long-suffering. And guess what? He has provided a way of our pardon from his just judgment against our sin. Let's go ahead and read none other than the Lord's words himself in John chapter number 3. Let's turn our Bibles to John the 3rd chapter. And let's read from his own mouth. And we go down here to John 3 verse number 16. Remember what we're thinking about in the back of our minds. After the reading of those things, verse 1 through 30 in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us, right? We're going to see how he is just to declare all that he's already stated. He's the only one who could be against us. But if we receive the offer of his forgiveness and salvation, he's the only one then that could be for us. Does that make sense? Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what God offered. That's the way of escape. The pardon there is that his creatures, mankind, will not be left hanging. He loved us enough that he would be willing to offer us an opportunity to escape that condemnation. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I agree with you. Thank you, Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know why God is just to judge you and I a sinner? Is because as the Creator and Maker, he sees your thoughts. He sees your heart. He knows the secret intentions that you don't tell nobody. Those vain and wicked imaginations that we all think, because we all do. Bible's true. He's not going to lie. We all fall short. We all have wickedness in our hearts. He is just to declare it. So then God, here he is, he's condemning the world. He's saying, hey, you have darkness. You're evil. You're sinners. Repent of your sin and put your faith in my Son. He's the one that was sent to save you from your sin, to save you from this wrath. That declaration of truth and light was revealed from heaven. That's what Romans 1:18 talks about. All mankind understand this truth of judgment. You don't have to teach a child not to lie. He will or she will automatically do it. But they know something is wrong, because deep down inside we all have this thing called guilt. That guilt proves us of an understanding of morality, like there's something wrong when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. That's what Jesus said. That is the condemnation from God. Aside from all the judgments to Israel and everything that we read about, he's just telling us he came into this world. He is the light of man, the light of the world. But you know what? People chose the darkness rather than him. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, the Bible says, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know why people don't want to get saved today? Do you know why when you try to tell somebody about Jesus and they reject and then reject and then reject, is because they don't want to be told what they're doing is wrong. You know why Christians don't want to go to a Bible-based church to listen to Bible-based preaching, is because they don't want to be told what they're doing is wrong. Here's what happens. It's either we humble ourselves and say, God, you're right. Your word is holy. We're under its authority and subjection. Hence, none of us are going to be puffed up. Nobody's greater. We're all in the same boat over here, wretchedness. Praise God, we can have mercy, right? We're not going to complain against each other because we already know what the scripture says. But Christians that don't come to church faithfully and honestly and sincerely, it's because they have evil deeds that they still do and they don't want to be reproved. I'm just gonna side nugget preach on that aspect. The natural man, he's not saved. He doesn't want to be saved because he doesn't want to be told that what he's doing is wrong. And number two, the carnal man, somebody that is saved, the girl or boy, it doesn't matter. They don't want more of the light of God's word in them. They don't want to read that Bible because it reproves them of their sin. It tells them where they're wrong. And it points them to Christ to be more like him. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. Put off the old man with all those lusts. You guys know what I'm talking about. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. You know, God is going to recognize you when you do what he tells you to do. He'll acknowledge that you're doing that which is acceptable in his sight, and he will bless you for it, church. I just want to let you know that. And obviously for us, when we were lost and we did get saved, again, the Father recognized that, sent the Holy Ghost, saved our soul, and we called upon Christ. Go down with me a little bit later, if you would, to verse number 26. In regards to John the Baptist and his testimony, as he confirms this record or this witness from Christ. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So he acknowledged that Jesus was Christ. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. Who is John the Baptist making reference to? Jesus. From eternity coming into this time universe aspect of our earth and all this life on this planet, is telling those that came to him, What he heard up there, what he's seen up there, he's testifying down here, and nobody is believing it. Nobody receives his witness, his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath said to his seal that God is true. So you know what John the Baptist told us, and we can make application to all mankind that has heard, that have heard his voice through the written format? If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and his claims, you are acknowledging that God is true. But if you deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're calling God a liar. John the Baptist is going to call people out when the Lord judges them on that great white throne judgment and say, hey, John, didn't you tell him? Hey, John, didn't you tell him? Verse 34, for he whom God hath sent, talking about Jesus, speaketh the words of God. How about that? For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. You know what John the Baptist, one of his last records was? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How about that? Before Peter is filled with the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 1, before they're baptized and they're speaking in the local tongues of every Jew under heaven in Acts chapter 2, before Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9 and writes Romans and all this, you know who you had there preaching and teaching the way of salvation? John the Baptist. What did he tell people? If you believe in Jesus, you're not going to die. If you believe in Jesus, you'll escape the wrath of God. But if you don't believe Jesus, the wrath of God abides on you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Only God can. Only God can. So thank God that we've received the witness and the record he gave his Son, because that is him giving us a way of escape from his wrath. So again, he's just to judge. Romans 3, thou art just when thou judgest, right? That's what Paul said, quoting the Psalm. Jesus told us, hey, God didn't send me into this world to condemn you, but to save you. But if you don't believe it, oh, you're condemned, and the wrath of the Father is going to be on you. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to judge you personally. That's what 2 Thessalonians 1 said. What an amazing God God is. By his grace and loving nature, he was willing to offer mankind a way of escape, a way of freedom from his holy judgment. So what have we learned from Genesis to Revelation? God has been for mankind, and God has been against mankind. He allowed Adam and Eve to continue to live after they sinned. He is for mankind. But he destroyed the world of Noah by flooding the planet with water, condemning the world because of their sin. He was against mankind. What we need to find out today, on this side of time, which we've been studying, is, sorry about that, let me find my notes here. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back here. What we need to find out, which if you've been studying with us, we've discovered, is how can we go from being against him to being with him or being accepted of him? Only because we responded to what he's offered. Jesus told us in John 3, he loved the world, he loved you and I. The Father sent him in here to die for your sins. But if you reject that truth, that gospel, that light that he gave you, his wrath still abides on you. He still abides on you. The only one who can be for us is God. The only one who can rightfully be against us is God as well. What we've learned in chapter 8 of Romans in verse number 1 is that to them who are in Christ Jesus, God can therefore only be for those who've received and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John 4, we're going to read down here verses 15 through number 19. 1 John 4, 15 through 19. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That's what Romans 8 was telling us. Holy Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God because we've believed in him, we've received in him, we've been born again. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because it's coming. Because as he is, so are we in this world right now. Present tense for those that have believed on him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Praise God for the love offered us through his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Romans 8 before we close. Verse number 32. Romans 8, verse number 32. The Bible says here, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, speaking of the triune nature of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he is God the Father. The Son, we know, is the Lord Jesus, and us is mankind. But more specifically here, the believers that are in Christ in verse number 1. All this free gift or blessings are only made available through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the eternal purpose of the Godhead in Ephesians 3:11. And in 1 Peter 4:11, that God might be glorified in all things through Christ. Let's go down to verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. The elect here is not a reference to any presuppositional systematic theology like Calvinism or any isms of men. Read the verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who are we referring to in context? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the elect of God. In Isaiah chapter number 42, we see that God calls him elect. Look at what it says here in verse number 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can anybody condemn Jesus? No. Can anybody rightly accuse him of sin? No. Why? Because he is the sinless Son of God. He is the eternal Word that was made flesh that he might declare the Father to us. Can anybody lay a charge against Jesus? They tried, but they had to get false witnesses. You guys remember that? You guys remember the nighttime trial there in Jerusalem? They had to get false witnesses to accuse him in that Sanhedrin. And ultimately, there was nobody that could be in each other's agreement. And so he was declared just. He was declared just. A couple more verses and then we'll close. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The only one that could and would be God if there's anybody that can condemn. And that's what Jesus said in John 3. That God the Father sent him into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Notice the key word might be, because not all are going to be. Not all are going to be. Not all are going to receive. 2 Thessalonians 1, when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, with flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God, them that obey not the gospel. He's the only one that can condemn. He's the only one that can be for you or against you. It just depends upon you. Are you going to receive him or are you going to reject him? God did not condemn his Son as a sinner, but rather placed him, our sin, upon him. The world, all of Adam's seed. The Father confirmed Jesus' claims that he was Messiah, not only audibly as the gospel accounts give us at his baptism and but by the resurrection from the dead. You can read that in Romans 1, 4. And look at another awesome role the Lord Jesus Christ serves in as intercessor. Look at there at the end of verse 34. Who also maketh intercession for us. Now look at that. He's not making intercession for the unsaved. Verse 34, for us. them that are in Christ, verse number 1 in Romans chapter 8. But if you go back there to John 17, yes, he is talking to the Father, and he did pray for them that would believe through the preaching, through the word. So I can say, all right, the Lord did pray for the world, for obviously for them that would believe. But specifically right here, he's praying for the saved. And then what do we learn there in John 17, what he prayed for? Father, not that you would take them from the world, but that you would keep them from the evil. You know what Christ is more interested about for your life while you're still on this planet trying to represent him? He's more interested in you being like him in spirit and truth. He's saying, Father, would you bless that? Yep, my son down there. Yep, that sister down there, my daughter. Help them from that sin, Lord. You know they're struggling over there with fornication, with adultery. Holy Ghost, you know they're struggling. I know they're struggling with that. Would you help them? Would you put somebody in their path to bring them some more truth, some scripture? Would you remove them from that environment so they don't sin against me? They don't sin against me. He wants his church to be holy. And that's what he's praying for right now. All these false apostles from Africa and China and Mexico and around the States, the Lord is telling me to tell you this right now. No, fool, smack him upside that head. They are not speaking on behalf of God. They're false apostles, false prophets. If they're not going to tell me what's in this book, the words of God that have been recorded by the Lord himself, they're not speaking for him. I want to know what he said. Praise God. He put it in a book form for you. You have it right here before you. You can hear his voice anytime. Amen. I ran out of time today, church, but we'll continue there. And in these couple of verses in regards to God the Father justifying him, and then some awesome truths that he had that they decreed again one with another that was recorded in the Psalms and then quoted by the writer of Hebrews there in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 10. How many of you guys just want one more verse? Anybody out there hungry? Anybody out there hungry today? I know, sister. One more verse. I'm sorry. One more verse. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You guys know. This is one of our verses because of our shirts that we make. I wore that shirt yesterday. Brother Manny wore it on Friday. That was pretty bold. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Watch this. God was manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus, justified in the Spirit, who declared Christ to be just as a man, the Holy Ghost, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. This is the progression. We know that Gentiles declared him to be God's son. We saw that in Sunday school, the centurions, remember that? Believed on in the world, received them into glory. Who can lay anything against God's elect? Who can charge God's elect? Nobody. Only God can. God didn't, obviously, because that's his boy. And praise God, if you come to Jesus today, if you get saved and born again, you're not going to have anybody to condemn you because God doesn't. How about that? Yep, that parole board may still condemn you. That judge may still condemn you. Your friends, your family may still say you're guilty because you just did. But you know what? God can forgive you of his condemnation. And that's what I want. I want to be forgiven from God. And then as I've become a new man, right, the Lord works in my mind, then I can try to restore those broken relationships on the earth. You know what I'm talking about. And you can try to be a good guy. But until then, hey, if Jesus, nobody could lay anything against him. Obviously, God, he's not going to lay anything against you once you come to Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. The Lord bless you. We look forward to seeing you guys soon. We had some great fellowship yesterday. I'm not sure. We'll ask some of our church members if they want a fellowship tonight. If they don't, that's cool. But we look forward to seeing you guys for next Wednesday night, if you want, and then next Sunday service as well. The Lord bless you.